thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene. I am Wole, and I'm about to patch on the homie, Will T, real quick. Ray Jeezy's out. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, my man. How you doing?
Everything's great, great, man. I got Will T Ray's out, man. This is like the darkness show, dog. No light bright. Darkness. Straight darkness.
It is,
right?
Man. Straight darkness.
You know
man.
What I'm saying? Social distance and darkness. Darkness is. You know what I'm saying? This is it, man. This is lit. You know, hey man, I know you're not on social media, but I think you need to check this thing out, right? You need to check out maybe go on YouTube or something. Check Tony Lands live, yeah. Tory Lands Lands, whatever his name is, live. You gotta check it out, dog.
Tory Lanez.
Thank you, bro. You saved me. Tory Lanez. Yeah, Tory Lanez live. IG. It's hot, bro.
Okay.
Hot. You'll know what I'm talking about. IG live, man. It's like it's good for quarantine life, man. Real talk. Very good for quarantine life.
Okay. Right. I might check out your suggestion.
Thank you. You'll enjoy it, dog. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our new Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search our Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. We have everybody, you know, within the same community, sports community. So, you know, trying to get people together. Before I get into, you know, the show rundown and whatnot, you know, our usual thing. How are you enjoying? Are you enjoying quarantine life right now?
Yeah, man. Look, I've been chilling, man. Just hanging out with my son. Mm-hmm. My commute to work is non-existent.
Okay.
Cause I get up, take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I need to do for myself to mentally prepare for the day, and then I get to work, and then as soon as I get off of work, I find some type of games to play with my son, and
awesome.
Then try to connect with my friends either, you know, via text or via playing some type of game, you know, virtual game. So I'm cool, but I'm what you would call an
introvert.
I'm not a total introvert, mm. but you know. It's a scale between introvert and extrovert. I'm probably in the middle, so I enjoy my time by myself.
No, I don't knock it. I don't knock the alone time, man. Like you will, T. Like, you know, I get an opportunity to communicate with my friends via text, but it's not like it's I'm fiending to see people, because we all know, man, people could be so annoying at times. You know?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So I'm just saying, like, I get it, you know what I mean? Like, some people, they have to see folks, right? But sometimes from a distance, it's pretty cool. Like, and plus you get that time for yourself. And I'm like you, at times I need my me time, you know what I'm saying? So not every time I need somebody all up in my face.
I mean, you're really active on social media.
I am. Use that, believe me, that's been helpful during the time. But I use that as in terms of jokes. I don't take social media that serious, but because I just think that, you know, when real life is where you take serious. Social media, you can just, some people play a role, right? They play a role. They don't really play themselves. So I don't typically take social media that serious. But Will T, let's get to the show. Will T, man, I was about to say Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
My bad, bro. I was about to steal it. I apologize. Here's what we have on tap.
It's all good, man.
We'll discuss if the Washington Redskins should target wide receiver Antonio Brown at 8:20. We'll talk about the 2020 class of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, which includes Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Tamika Catchings, just to throw out a few names. At 8:35, we'll talk about the NFL's all-decade team. Then we'll end the show talking about Mississippi State Football College, coach Mike Leach. Leach's controversial tweet. But first, the Washington Redskins tried to bring in a number one wide receiver into DC, Amari Cooper. He decided to go back to Dallas. There is another number one wide receiver on the market in Antonio Brown, AB. Should Riverboat Ron Rivera take a gamble on Brown?
No, absolutely not. Look, you're Ron Rivera, which you're trying, coming off of things that have happened in this organization over the last, I'll say, 6-7 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just coming in new, first year, you're trying to establish a culture. bringing a guy who's a known, maybe he changed, but at previous stops was a diva and someone who was a locker room mischief, malcontent, right? You don't bring them into your organization when you're trying to establish a culture and just get things started. I don't think that's the right move to make. I mean, from a talent perspective, can you use him? Absolutely. He would only enhance McLaurin on the other side, you know, being able to be in the meeting room with Antonio Brown, being able to practice with him, being able to pick his brain on, you know, how he sees coverages, moves to get off the line of scrimmage, you know, all the things that are essential that make a great wide receiver, bringing him in to teams with McLaurin would be great. But just from a culture standpoint, I don't think it's a good fit for this team.
We can't be a society of change, believing someone can change. I mean, we all look at him. Maybe he's humble, right? Maybe he's humble.
You're absolutely right, Wally. He could have been humbled, you know, this time away from the game and everything that's happened to him in his personal life that's been broadcasted on the news. He could have changed. But my mother always told me, if it slithers and it hiss, it's probably a snake. You don't need to get bitten by it for you to know which one. So I would say leave Antonio Brown alone.
You know, at first I was like, don't give this dude a chance. But obviously the Skins really are hunting for a number one wide receiver. They missed out on Amari Cooper, and you know Antonio Brown, you know, will probably be cheap, cheaper than we can even imagine having a wide receiver on the market like that for any team, right? And you know, I just feel like there it is. There is an opportunity and an option. I mean, and you know, there's an opportunity to be like, you know what, maybe this team can sign an Antonio Brown, because again, if you give him the right contract, the right structure, and giving yourself an easy way out to release him if something happens, you know, you can do that with it. Because at this point in time, you're looking at Antonio Brown, you look at a guy that could be desperate, right? And you can and you mentioned some good points, you know, pairing him with a McLaurin. I mean, look what Juju didn't do too bad playing with Antonio, right? You know, learning from Antonio Brown. I just feel like maybe, you know, that there is some positivity into, you know what, helping McLaurin grow as a wide receiver, having a wide receiver like AB. Even though we all know that he turned on Juju after the fact. But I'm just saying, on the field play.
He did, but do you also want to, but I think there's another aspect of this you didn't factor into your equation. And that being, you also had a young quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, right? Do you want a guy who wants the ball and who sometimes has made a stink about not getting the ball when he's open? Do you want that? Do you want to pair that with your young quarterback? I don't think you do.
Yeah, obviously.
I think, you know, in an ideal world, would it be a good, you know, is it a good pipe dream to think about bringing Antonio Brown to D.C.? Absolutely. But look, man, I don't know what it is about this organization. I don't know if it's cursed. I don't know if it's just ownership. I don't know if it's senior leadership. But it seems as if whenever someone comes to D.C., it just doesn't pan out.
Well,
from a free agent perspective. Outside of what?
Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson.
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
But it's very far and few.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because I feel like the players who are desperate. This is my thing. I feel like the players who are desperate, they pan out. I think the players that are in their prime, you know what I'm saying, just looking for the money, those are the individuals who don't. I feel like players like AB will pan out because they're playing for something totally different, right? They're playing to prove to the league that, you know, that they're still that dude, or, you know, they're not malcontents. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're playing not maybe for this team, but they're playing for the NFL to let them know, like, all right, this team may have gave me a 1-year deal. They didn't truly believe in me. So I'm going to show you all what I'm about. And when I'm out there on the market, y'all going to have to give me the bag.
I get it. It sounds good. But we all know what it is when you come to this team. You come to this town for some reason.
You talking about the nightlife? You talking about the nightlife? Is that what you're trying to say?
We talk about nightlife. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about, my friend. But the reality is, when you come and you play for this organization, things happen to you.
They do. Things happen. People, like, you know, they get tugged, they get pulled to certain directions. I'm just saying, like, in terms of on the field, you know, having a guy like so talented, because I mean, let's not forget, when he was in the league, people thought this was the best wide receiver in football. They thought he was better than Julio Jones, better than A.J. Green, mm-hmm. like the absolute best in football.
Look, I think isn't the word. He was better than Julio Jones. If you ask me, in my opinion, he was better than Julio Jones. He was better than all of those guys. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so why not? To me, why not take a gamble on somebody like that? I get, like, he could be a malcontent in the locker room. I get it. Like, I get it. But sometimes, you know what? When you're that good, don't you give them a little leeway? When you're that good?
Yeah, if you're that good and you're one player away from winning a championship,
good point. Mm-hmm.
But when you have when you're trying to start over, you have a lot of young players, you don't have a very strong veteran presence in your locker room, or anyone who I can readily identify, you know, Trent Williams is still here. Possibly he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ryan Kerrigan.
Jonathan Allen.
But even Jonathan Allen, you know, is what, just in his third or fourth year?
Third year. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you may have some guys in that locker room who are tremendous leaders. But at this point, when you're just trying to, when you're almost at the point where you hit a reset on your whole organization, you don't need to bring them in. Not at this point.
All right, so
that doesn't make sense.
All right, so I posed the question on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page and also our on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene. Chris Liu tweeted on Twitter, totally agree. Right now speaking, he is still a problem for a hypothetical locker room, but also for himself. Saw a video of him speaking about Juju again today. Looks like the video was posted four to 5 days ago, and I felt like he is still not learning. Unfortunately, I didn't see this video. He's still saying stuff about Juju.
I haven't seen it either.
He's still talking about Juju.
I haven't seen it either. I don't know why you would, on your heart, any person living your heart or your mind rent free. I mean, you no longer a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens. Just let it go. Just let it go, man. It's not worth it.
Yeah, especially with something that was just like the team awarded him with the MVP, and that the offensive MVP, and that was it. I don't think Juju was talking reckless about him. It was the Steelers giving Juju the offensive MVP.
Look, I mean, it's just instances like this that make you even more hesitant.
Yeah, that's true.
I would be hesitant about bringing a type of guy.
I'm all about giving people chances. I always say I'm all about taking risks. You know, I gamble. You know, I dabble in the casinos at times. Well, back in the day.
You do more than that than dabble. You have a sickness. Let's keep it real.
I took a break. I haven't even done it in a while, man. Because of my sickness. I haven't even done it in a while. You know what I'm saying? So that's growth, right, Will T? That's growth.
That's growth, or it's just a pause.
Hey,
or it's just you reconsidering life.
I don't know about that.
Whatever way, you know, however you want to view it.
Hey, my man, Adam, at Twitter, at Burgundy and Gold Report, said, don't think he's anywhere close to being ready to be on an NFL team. Hopefully he addresses his mental health issues. I do believe that he has mental health issues. You know, hopefully he's getting help, right? You know what I'm saying?
Hope he does. I mean, look, for an individual to be that talent, to be arguably the best at what you do, and playing in the NFL where there's a very, I'm not going to say very limited, but there's a limited window where you can maximize your income, I would hate to see him throw it away.
Yeah. Me too. I think get help, maximize your, you know, what you have around you to get you that help, right? Because he's rich. He's still rich and wealthy. So he can get the best help, you know, the best help money can buy. You know, at the end of the day, that money does help a lot of things. So get the best help money can buy and get yourself situated. Because again, like he's a phenomenal talent. And it's not just because he's a phenomenal talent, but you just want to get right personally, right? So he can be able to live a long, successful life. So for me, man, I want this dude to get mentally right, because mental illness isn't a joke, right? We talked about it before. Mental illness is not a joke. You know what I'm saying? So whatever, you know, he has or he's dealing with, like, get right, man, because if he can get right, you know, many football teams would love to have an AB. You know what I'm saying? And to me, to get a guy this talented at a bargain, you know what I'm saying, you can't beat it. It's just like when the Patriots, when Randy Moss was with the Raiders and folks thought Randy was done, but you still knew he was talented. The Patriots got him got Randy Moss for basically nothing. And, you know, look what happened, right? Bro, he shattered records.
Okay, well, so I have a theory about this. Mm-hmm. When you have someone who's immensely talented, you know, a Randy Moss or Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. who knows that, you know, I'm this talented, but yet accepts a deal where a below market deal, it's going to cause some frustrations between them and management eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, let's hypothetical, even though I don't like to live in the world of hypothetical.
I feel you.
Let's say Washington does sign Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah.
Let's say they do something, give him like a 1 year, I don't know, 10 million, like a 1 year, $10 million deal.
Yeah.
Totally happens. Which is below
market.
Below market.
Yeah, what about incentive?
And Antonio Brown. Huh?
Would you get? Would you get incentives in this deal? Incentives, like an incentive laden.
I don't know. Or better yet, let's say it's an incentive laden deal.
Okay.
Antonio Brown comes out and he tears it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's going to be frustration between him and the team, because he's going to feel as if, look, you're doing everything you've asked me to do. I'm killing it. I'm getting paid below market.
Mm.
Let's start that renegotiation process rather than later.
Real talk. That's real.
And if the team says no, you know, it leads to some angst from his side.
No, that's a good point.
I understand, like, when people say get them with a below market deal. That's fine. But you want to make sure you give him a deal where he feels comfortable, and also you have as much, you know, of an out to get out of that deal relatively easily. Kind of like what the Patriots did.
Very, very good point. Fascinating. Fascinating discussion with Will T. Will T always breaks it down. My man, Will T. All right, it's time to go to the next segment. Is the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class the best? We'll discuss this after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
Amazing.
You dig? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, my boy Will T. I'm about to hook him back up. Told y'all, man, we doing social distancing. I gotta kind of be the engineer and the host at the same time. Well, co-host. Will T, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Cool.
My
cool.
Man, Will
just
T.
Sitting here and doing the show. That's all.
Hey, you say Ray's texting. What is Ray talking about, man? I can't get it on my phone right now.
Ray said he was commenting about your opening when he said darkness, and he had three question marks. Yeah, I bring the ratings. Hashtag cult like following.
Ray, you miss, man. You know what I'm saying? The light bright. You know, you bring balance on this show. You bring balance, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you appreciate it. All right. It's official. The 2020 class of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame will include the late, great Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Tamika Catchings. There are others, but, you know, we won't get into all to them. We're going to talk about these individuals. Rudy Tomjanovich, he's deservingly so to be mentioned. Is this the best class assembled?
It's one of the best I can remember. I'm trying to...
Jordan class is pretty good, too.
I'm trying to jog my memory.
I'm gonna pull it up for you. I have it. I'm gonna pull it up for you.
All right, yeah, because so it was Jordan, David Robinson,
Jerry Sloan, yeah,
and Vivian Stringer.
Yeah.
You didn't even mention that. I didn't care about that.
I didn't. Yeah. I'm gonna be real. I didn't. You did. I'm real. I won't lie to you. I like Magic
but
Johnson,
then again,
yo. Magic Johnson had Bird and Magic. You can't. That's two of the all-time greats in one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then I was doing some research. I think Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, both of those guys.
Yeah,
went in
that's
together.
A good one, too, yeah.
But I'm going to go with that class of 2009 with Jordan.
It's impressive.
Robinson and Stockton.
No, it's very impressive. I mean, I know this is, to me, there's a cult one. When you have Allen Iverson, it's cult because Allen Iverson, right? We all love AI. Allen in 2016, Allen Iverson, Tom Izzo, Yao Ming. I think Yao Ming's a little, you know what? Shaquille O'Neal and Cheryl Swoops. I mean, shoot, man.
That's a good one. That's tough.
But you know what? Speaking of this year, I mean, 2020's class. You know, obviously, we talk about Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest who ever did it. You know, one of the greatest scorers, definitely, who ever did it, period. You talk about Kevin Garnett, one of the best two-way basketball players in terms of in my lifetime of watching, you know, how this dude can play defense and his leader on defense and how he was, you know, a good post player and a guy who can pick and pop, who can do so much, and his athleticism. And Tim Duncan. To me, Tim Duncan is one of the most underrated basketball players ever. Because, I mean, for me as a Laker fan, watching him against Kobe and Shaq, right? That dynamic duo. And to me, he was the best player on the court going against that duo. You know what I'm saying? When they had battles in their series, in their playoff series. So Tim Duncan, you have Tim Duncan and Kobe and then Garnett. Like, that's really, I had to really break it down and think about it. Like, that's a special unit, man.
Excuse me. Yeah, no, it is. It's cool. Look, Tim Duncan is arguably the best power forward to ever play. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kobe, there's an argument that he's sort of second best shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Garnett is a transformational player. You know, came straight from high school to the NBA. One of those. Power forwards that could defend all five positions,
mm-hmm.
Could stretch the floor, you know, out to 3-point range with his shooting ability. You know, when I look at Stockton, David Robinson, and Jordan,
yeah,
you know, to me, this is just my opinion. John Stockton, he's one of my favorite players of all time, and one of the better point guards. Jordan is Jordan, and then David Robinson is really top five centers of all time, in my opinion. You know,
no, it's a great
there with Bill Russell, mm-hmm. Wilt, Shaq,
Olajuwon.
Yeah, Olajuwon. You know, so you know, there's definitely, you know, he's one of the top five centers, you know, to ever play.
No, go ahead.
I still want to go with that 2009 Hall of Fame.
No, it's hard to go against that 2009. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's, to me, just looking at it, right, I'm supposed to be like the Jordan hater, but at the end of the day, like, when you look at the totality of, like, what these dudes did for basketball, right, like, those dudes that you just mentioned, they were on a dream team, right? Those are dream team players. So they did so much for the game internationally, right? And then also what they did in the States. We forget how good – everybody knows about Jordan. You know what I mean? Jordan is Jordan, right? We all know about Jordan. But, like, it's like nowadays, like, this generation, they don't know about Dave Robinson anymore. They don't know about Dave Robinson. No one's talking about how the Admiral used to hold it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, back then, we were younger. Like, the Admiral was like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of centers, until Olajuwon got him, the Admiral was arguably the best center in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, David Robinson, if we think about a center in the classic sense, you know, a guy who could play with his back to the basket, can step away and hit like a 10 to 12 foot jumper, strong, athletic, run the floor, block shot. You know, he's one of those prototype centers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably could still be very successful in today's NBA where, you know, the style of play is a lot more open.
No, I'm with you. I think Dave Robinson would be great in today's NBA. He's athletic. I think he's, to be honest with you, look at a guy in the NBA draft that we have an NBA draft, right? And Wiseman is very comparable to Dave Robinson.
Big if,
right? He's a guy very comparable to Dave Robinson. You know what I mean? And we're talking about a guy, Dave Robinson, who was, you know, one of the premier centers in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So you know that Dave Robinson can play, you know, could play to this day. And he balled out in like, was it Nate Army? He went to Army, right? Or Navy?
He went to Navy.
He balled out. Like, you know what I mean? Who balls in Navy? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's that type of dude? Stay Robinson. He's that good, man. He's just that good. And John Stockton is a ball player that, you know, was one of the most pestiest, intelligent basketball players in his era. And as a point guard, held it down.
Yeah. Gary Payton is considered one of the greatest defensive point guards ever. Mm-hmm. They must ask Gary Payton, who was the hardest player that for you to guard, for you to match up with on a night-to-night basis? And you got to remember, Gary Payton checked Jordan during the Seattle Supersonics run to the finals, but he said the hardest player for him to check was John Stockton.
And that speaks volumes, right? That speaks volumes to the ability. To the ability of
speaks volume of his, so not only his athletic ability, his intelligence, and his ability to run an offense, which is lost now, you know.
Definitely. I want to go.
A lot of people don't remember that the Jazz, you know, that system that Jerry Sloan ran, you know.
Amazing, man.
John Stockton was the point guard. He was quarterback in that system for a long time.
Yeah, and it was a great system. I want to get back to 2020 Hall of Famers though. Like Kobe Bryant, man, when that happens, when we get the opportunity to celebrate, you know, when the ceremony goes down, we get the opportunity to have the ceremony. Hopefully, like how emotional will that be, man? Like I don't know if I can watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, his family's going to be up there. It's going to be tough to watch, but it also should be a celebration of his life and his accomplishments on the court.
Yeah.
You know, what he's meant to the game and what he'll mean to a generation of basketball fans. Because, you know, just like, you know, some of us, you not included, could be Jordan is the greatest player we ever saw in our youth. You know, there's a generation that views Kobe Bryant the same way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of today's NBA players, they view Kobe Bryant that way.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. There's a number of NBA players that think that Kobe's the GOAT. It's going to be emotional. I don't know if I can watch it. I'm going to lie to you. I'm still in denial. But I'm with you, though. People who do watch it, they should – you know, it's a celebration. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for me to watch Kobe highlights because, you know, I just can't get to the point, get to say that the dude is gone. But, you know, I'm happy that he's going to be celebrated even more. And it's an opportunity to see what he brought to the table and his growth as a basketball player and as a champion. Then you got we just talked about Tim Duncan. We talked about Kevin Garnett. But Tamika Catchings, too, I'm glad she's getting her opportunity to shine. I ain't going to lie to you. Watching it, well, I remember watching WNBA. I was like, oh, some of these girls, they can go. But when I watched Tamika Catchings, I was like, she could really go. Like, she can go.
Yeah, Tamika Catchings can ball.
Yeah, she can ball, bruh. And, like, I'm glad she's getting this opportunity. She's getting the recognition because she deserves it. I mean, when I watched her, I mean, obviously in Tennessee, but watching her in the WNBA, man, she's something else, man. It was her and Shamika Holzclaw. I felt like watching them hoop, like, they can go. Tamika Catchings is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching her with Tamika Holzclaw, those Tennessee teams. Rest in peace to Pat Summitt.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Those were some great. That was a very, you know, I understand that, you know, UConn, they've had a great run in women's basketball. You know, Ariana, when he's got a UConn, but, you know, the team that really started to put women's basketball on the map.
Tennessee. Yeah.
Back in the 90s was those Tennessee teams.
Agreed.
That Pat Summitt was coach.
Agreed. No, I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Tennessee team back in the day, they were UConn. Like, not as dominant as UConn is now, obviously. But I'm talking about for anybody viewing women collegiate basketball, Tennessee was it. That was the program.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, and, you know, you like seeing, like, Tennessee versus Cheryl Swoops teams and whatnot. Like, Tennessee was it. They were always that. Like, they were the gold standard back then. Tennessee was the gold standard back then. But, yeah, Tamika Catchings, I'm glad she's getting her, you know, she's getting the attention. And real quick, Rudy Tomjanovich, like what he did with the Houston Rockets. I mean, I know I didn't highlight him enough, but a great coach and a guy that got the best out of a team and got him to the championship. Olajuwon before Rudy Tomjanovich, Olajuwon didn't win a championship. He got close. But with Rudy T, he was able to win championships.
Yeah, absolutely. There are only so many teams that have won back-to-back championships. And Rudy Tomjanovich was the coach of that Houston Rockets team that won two championships. Jordan was retired. He wasn't retired both years. But,
yeah. But you know what you're saying, yeah. You didn't get the Jordan.
Yeah. So it would have been interesting if we had an opportunity to see those Houston Rockets teams with Hakeem Olajuwon versus Michael Jordan and those Chicago Bulls teams.
I know. I think a lot of fans would want to see that. Like, Olajuwon is prime versus Jordan. Like, that Olajuwon was dominant. He was dominant, especially in postseason play. Like, that Olajuwon was something. He turned his game up in the postseason. Those two, it would have been a great match. That was always the thing that I wish that we got the opportunity to see as youngsters. Like, Olajuwon, Jordan, the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been a sight to behold. Will T. George just tweeted us, Stockton was the hardest player to check because he was one of the dirtiest players to play against, and those hard screens from Karl Malone.
Valid point. Mm-hmm. Is it dirty or is it just
intelligent?
No. Yeah. It's that savviness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that veteran savviness. You know where the referees are, so you know how to put your body in between the ref and the guy who's your guardian, you know, give him that forearm shiving it, you know, or give him that forearm on him where you're checking him if he isn't able to move. You know.
Man, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's what I'm a firm believer in that. George also tweeted, Olajuwon's Rockets teams would have beaten Jordan's Bulls at least once.
You know what? We'll never know.
You're right, though. We'll never know.
But that's the good thing about, you know, these hypothetical basketball, you know, hypothetical basketball matchups. You know, we'll never know, you know.
No, I'm with you. We'll never know. Only if it would have happened, man. We would have been blessed. Yep. We would have been blessed, man. All right. The NFL All-Decade Team was announced yesterday. We'll discuss the team after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Ages.
You dig?
Useless.
Loyalty got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yao Shu, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, they carve a tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, my boy Will T, Ray Jeezy is out. All right, that's how it goes down. Putting Will T on. All right, the NFL All-Decade Team was announced Monday. I have the list in front of me of the players who were selected to this All-Decade Team. Do you have an
I'm
issue?
Glad you have, all right, do you have the list?
And Will T, not you back, man.
So I will say this. I will say this. Go ahead. I saw some of the list.
Okay.
One guy on the list, I'm kind of like WTF.
All right.
But then when you realize just how long he played, you know, it's like, well, the guy is Frank Gore. Gore is one of the best, you know, from a yardage standpoint, one of the best running backs that, I think he's like top three now, right?
He up there, man. He's in the top five. I can say that. I know he's up there with AP. He's up there with AP, surprisingly.
But then I ask myself, is it more of because he played 15 years, or is it? I know it's a combination of talent, durability, and a multitude of other things, but it's just like, Frank Gore, you know?
No, I feel you. It's surprising when you hear where he's at in the list, but then you kind of go back, and he was the man in San Fran. Like, it wasn't like, you know, he just wasn't flashy, but he was the man in San Fran. He was consistent. You know, you had guys who were missing seasons. He was still giving you 1,200, 1,300, you know, every year, even, you know, I mean, even with low, I guess a low average per yard to carry, but he was always solid. I mean, solid, even with average yards per carry. He wasn't like, he was a guy that just was just stealing yards. He was earning his yards.
I get it. I understand it. I respect it. But when I think about the team, I'm just like, Frank Gore.
I know, right? I mean, I ain't gonna lie, like Tyron Smith over at Trent Williams, I'm not even a believer in that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even, I mean, obviously, I might be being a homer because obviously Trent's putting the Skins in a bad situation. But in terms of being objective, I'm like, yo, like Trent has typically been better than Tyron Smith, other than like being caught with weed and whatnot.
That's the only reason I could justify, you know, Tyron Smith has been more readily available.
Yeah.
Than Trent Williams, but if I'm just, you know, looking at taking resume for resume and, you know, what each player is to, you know, each team,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Trent Williams.
Yeah. I mean, not to be, and no knock on Tyron Smith. I think Tyron Smith is a talented dude. I just don't think he's better than Trent. This is one. You touch Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, only two quarterbacks. Yo, no Drew Brees? Like, I mean, I know A-Rod is the sexy picker. Everybody loves A-Rod, but no Drew Brees over A-Rod?
No, I see your argument, but when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, I think prior to the last two seasons might have had, you know, a couple of seasons where quarterback rating of 100. He may have the highest or one of the higher quarterback ratings all time of football. So that's why I think they probably went towards going with Aaron Rodgers.
All right. See if this makes sense. It's an all-decade team. Let's not forget this. Like the all-decade team. Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, cool. That's, you know, Gronk was dominant. And Travis Kelce. I'm trying to think. When did Antonio Gates get into the, like, when did the Antonio Gates, when was he that dude? Was it?
I want to say during the 2000s. I don't think it's during the 2010s.
Okay. I'm trying to, exactly. All right. Cause I'm thinking of other tight ends. Like I get Kelsey's a monster, so no one's knocking Kelce. I'm just trying to think, like, within that, you know, 10-year time frame, was he just that? Was he that? I mean, Kelce isn't like a 10-year vet.
No, he isn't. We're just purely looking at Antonio.
I'm trying to look it up myself. I'm
numbers. Nah. In 2010, he had 50 receptions. 2011, he had 64. 2012, he had 49.
Okay, so it was like
2013, he had 77. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't his prime. Okay. So maybe, all right, then maybe Travis Kelce. Okay, I ain't gonna knock the Travis Kelce thing. I was like, Travis Kelce. All right, coaches. Let's go to coaches. Bill Belichick. We already know he the GOAT. All right, Bill Belichick's the GOAT.
Yep.
Pete Carroll, the second coach.
Two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, he got the two Super Bowls. All right, somebody brought this to my attention. I kind of like this one. All right, so P only won one, though. Got the two, but won one, right?
Yeah.
What about John Harbaugh? I mean, he got the one, but he won one. But I'm just saying, John Harbaugh
got the one, but John Harbaugh only had four seasons in the NFL.
Okay. But how many Pete has... How many years in a decade, in that decade? When did Pete get to Seattle? I'm trying to think when he got to Seattle.
Let's see.
Somewhere it's
like 2011.
Okay. And John got there when? At about the same time, right? Not too far apart, right? Because they beat the Niners and went Super Bowl with Cap? Super Bowl, I want to say... When they beat the Niners with Cap, I want to say that's like 14. Is that 14? Or even
what?
When the Ravens beat.
That's 2013.
So yeah, they're not too far apart then, right? Pete and Harbaugh are too far apart.
Yeah, not too far apart, but Pete Carroll's been back in the NFL since 2010.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, back. He was there the first time with the Patriots, the first go around with the Patriots.
He's been back in Seattle since 2010.
I don't know.
He's only had
What about Andy Reid? I think Andy Reid. I mean, I know it's not a voice by winning by
school. Andy Reid had that. Yeah, he had that. That bad. I'm not gonna say bad stretch with Philadelphia.
But what's bad when you keep winning division? When you keep winning your division, and you got to Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with that? Like Andy Reid, to me, in my opinion, to be real with you, I know he didn't win, but sometimes, you know, to win a Super Bowl, it's hard. But to consistently be dominant enough to keep winning a division, to always be a contender, even when he went to Kansas City, he was a contender. Like, to me, that's better off. Than, like, Pete got one. I got it. He got one. I guess.
I think you give it to Pete because Pete won. I mean, him and Andy Reid both have one.
Yeah, but does Andy's count in a decade because it's after? Does it count? I don't know. Because it's like right. I mean, it's the season. It's the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, it's the 2019 season.
Yeah. Because to me, if it counts, if we're looking at if they're counting Andy's champion, if they're counting Andy's Super Bowl, then to me, Andy's is the second best coach in football. If we're gonna in all decade, if we're doing an all decade team. I think Andy's.
I get it, but you got to remember during one season of the decade, Andy Reid was like 4-12.
I mean, Pete got to his playoffs being 7-9. Nine ain't any better.
7-9 is better than 4-12.
That's real talk. It is. But how many years did Andy win his division though? You know what I'm saying? Compared to Pete.
I mean, back in the
Just saying.
Look, man, I'm giving your old coach more love than you are, man. What's up with that, man?
No, I'm just, look, man, when it comes to, I'm just going off the numbers.
I got
I'm
you.
Trying to rationalize. I'm just trying to explain to you.
Oh, man, Georgia.
Andy Reid was 4-12, was 4-12 during the decade, the 2010 decade.
Oh, my man, you George just tweeted as well. He just said, Andy Reid's, all right, at Urban Sports, he said, Andy Reid's had a lot of real bad playoff failures. Plus, Carroll Seahawks been to the NFC title game, and I think four total times. Carroll is greater than Reid all day long. Dang, I wouldn't say it like that, George. All day long? I don't think Carroll's better than Reid all day
I'm
long.
I'm not going to go all day long.
I mean, a lot of people had issues with, like, Aaron Rodgers, because I put this out there on social media. A lot of people had issues with Aaron Rodgers being over Drew Brees, though. That was, like, a thing. Like, Aaron Rodgers, because Drew Brees got records, man.
Yeah, that's true.
He got records, you know what I'm saying? Even though, I mean, when you the eye test, right, you always go with Aaron Rodgers, right? Because everybody talks about how pretty he throws the football. But if you look at stats and, you know, what Drew Brees has done. I mean, you look at the guy that, yeah, maybe, you know, he should be over Aaron Rodgers. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers, you just look at a shiny car, man, that does things that amazes you. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying.
So.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm with you. I was about to go back to where I was about to end the segment. I was going to let you finish it off before I end the segment.
No, man. Finish it.
Let me, man. All right, thank you, man. All right. I want to put this out there. Are we overly sensitive as a society? We'll discuss Mike Leach's controversial tweet after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports thing. You dig?
Deuces. Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, I ride for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, what? Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, I ride for my hips. I die for my hips. Touch the mother hips, man, I'm down with no limit. I ride for the cause, I'm the soldier on the tank with the big, big balls. And if anybody messes with Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'ma go. His people put his name on the wall, and everywhere I go, I got Mr. Magic Jeff. Because I know that boy don't care. He'll have that red stuff pouring out your hair. Left any given time, left anywhere. Make him bleed is the model that I live by. If you mess with me, it's a must you die. Them haters might run, but them haters can't. Like shooting yourself, it's a suicide exhale. Got to be hitting hard like Bird Boys. Burning to know you, know I'm as big hurt. Just like Soldier Slim, he'll put you in the dirt and have your picture on front of a t-shirt. And when I make moves, I got 100 soldiers with me, just in case the haters out there trying. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out. All right, new Mississippi State football head coach Mike Leach. Excuse me, is out here creating drama. All right, dude tweeted out a meme with a lady knitting a noose for her husband. This is what was on the meme. After 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decided to knit him a scarf. After this tweet, defensive tackle Fabian Lovett decided to transfer because he felt that this was a racially insensitive tweet. Leach took down the tweet and apologized. Your thoughts on the situation, Will T? I don't know Mike Leach.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that he's a racist.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people calling him racist. What I will say is his tweet was very insensitive. Towards African Americans, one, because there are, you know, the history of Mississippi is filled with African Americans who were lynched.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the greatest travesties in the history of civil rights, during the civil rights movement, took place in Mississippi. Mississippi has a history injustice to African Americans. And for you to football coach the leader, per se, of a program at Mississippi State, and for you to not understand the history of that state, understand the history of that college, and also put into context that you are the leader of young men, young African-American men, and for you to tweet out something like that was just racially insensitive. I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not calling him a racist. I'm not calling for his job. I just think it showed a very, a total lack of character in that moment.
Yeah, I don't think he was, I mean, I don't know Mike Leach, but I don't think he was, you know, I don't think he had racist intent, like had a, like a race, tried to be disrespectful to African Americans at all by sending the tweet. I don't think that's that was in his mind. But I do think he's stupid. I think you made a valid point, Will T, to the point of like you're leading young men, right? You're the leader of basically an organization, college football, like Mississippi State football is an organization, right? You're the leader of this organization. You're the CEO, and for you not to have the common sense not to know in Mississippi, right? To have the common sense not to know to not know what you're tweeting, what you decided to tweet out was something that would offend your own one, the people in your within your company, when I'm talking about the football players, and also the community. Like it's ridiculous. And also, I mean, in terms of the world, yeah, like you're offending, you know, African Americans and people even outside of this country. So like what came through your mind when you decided to tweet that? You know what I'm saying? So like it's just flat out dumbness to me. Like I don't get why he would even think about doing that. And also leave, you're an old ass man. Leave that crap to like the young dudes to tweet. Why are you even tweeting crap like that? You know what I'm saying? Like why even do that?
Yeah, I mean, it calls into question his common sense.
Yeah.
First of all, then it also calls into question racial sensitivity.
Yeah,
you know.
And this is
as I said again, as the head coach, being parents aren't trusting you to be somewhat of a father figure to a group of young men for 3 to 4 years, or however long they, you know, decide to stay at the Mississippi State. That, you know, it just rings a poor judgment and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And just kind of like, man, WTF.
Yeah, real talk. What were you thinking? Like, real talk. Like, what were you thinking? Like, on Twitter, my man at G-Man Bank. Banks 830 tweeted, of all things grandma can knit and this is the outcome. You know what I mean? Of all things for her to knit a noose, like, and this is what you're gonna like put out there. My man JB Raj tweeted, I think people attach noose knots to black people. We as blacks should want to get rid of the narrative that's not going away. I'm sorry. I think that was a typo. Yeah, that's not going away. Yeah, I mean,
it's not going away. It's not only part of our history. It's part of American. It's American history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a history that is, in that incident throughout the state of Mississippi, where African Americans were hung from their necks by noose.
Yeah.
For simply being African American.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know that we want to distance ourselves from, you know, some people want to distance themselves from that time in history, but we can't. Let's not try to whitewash it. Let's not try to forget it. It's our history. It's something that we should all look back upon, and we should look back upon it with a level of shame and say, okay, we need to do better as a people moving forward.
Yeah.
That's all it is to it.
The AD from Mississippi State came out and said he's disappointing in Mike Leach. But Mike Leach isn't getting fired, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not asking for him to get fired because, again, for me, I don't think he meant harm in terms of, you know, trying to disrespect the race. I don't think that was his intent. He saw a funny meme. I just think Mike Leach is really, really immature. But I do, I can't see the argument of anybody who may think that he may be like a racist or whatever. So, I mean, or may not say a racist, but may think that this may have some type of racist intent. Let me use that language. Because, you know, they've kind of pieced in that, you know, he's seems to be a Trumper, you know, Trumpers, not to say everybody who believes in Donald Trump is one, but he has, you know, he has that backing of people who are, into hate crimes or into like hate mongering, right? So people are trying to put two and two together. But I don't believe that Mike Leach is that type of I don't know who Mike Leach is, but I personally don't think that Mike Leach is a racist. Like, I personally don't think that. I do think he made
I think he made a totally racially insensitive and stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that, you know, when we are able to get back to, you know, when society turns back to normal,
mm-hmm.
here in the States, that he gets in front, I'm not going to say gets in front of it, but gets in front of the camera and he answers the tough questions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way. Look, if you're going to be the leader of men, young men, you're going to ask them to be leaders and push themselves and go hard for themselves for you and that post and that university, the least you could do is address the issue.
Yeah.
Show your contrition, amend for it, and then move forward and put it behind you. That's all.
So this is my question to you, Will T. Do you think, like, if something like this happened, because we're in a different era, man. We're in a different era. Something like this happened, let's say, in the mid-90s, right? Would this be blown up like this? Would this be a story?
I think it's a combination of things that really push this off of the front page. One, you have, you know, the whole COVID situation we were dealing with, COVID-19
yeah.
situation
mm-hmm.
we're dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in itself is a black swan that no one has ever encountered, and it's something that not only is changing us socially, economically, it's just changing fundamentally how we, you know, go about our lives on a day-to-day basis. So I think that, and then, you know, that's pretty much been on the top of everyone's mind. So something like this, I'm not going to say it's not a big deal, but it's just not something people are putting a lot of their attention and focus to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we were on a more regular way, you know, if we were back to our regular way of living, I think this is something that will probably be highlighted and would be discussed. And Mike Leach would had to either address it, or he would have, there could have possibly been some protesting a demand for his job.
Mm. Well, the lesson of the day for Mike Leach is, do, you know what I'm saying? Just have common sense, man. Have common sense. Just know, like, before you are thinking about tweeting something, because you're not like me or anybody else, you know what I'm saying? You have a different platform. People pay attention to you.
You're a public figure.
We can say whatever.
Yeah, we can say something. But I'm not going to say we can say whatever.
I can say close enough. I'm not whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, I can be hilariously ignorant if I wanted to, but people would think it's a joke, right? Cause like, but when you do it, something totally different.
Yeah, I mean, but even today, in today's cancel culture,
yeah,
you know, if you say something and people find out your true identity and find out where you work, trust me, people will.
I know, man. People too sensitive. I'm serious.
People will tweet the supervisor, tweet your job, and say, hey, you know, he did this. He should be fired. So,
all right, look, I'm gonna have an insensitive comment. Well, it won't be insensitive, but I think it's kind of funny. All right, think about this, Will T. And before we go and give out the whole where you can catch our podcast, you know, spiel or whatnot. Everybody wants us to rock masks to be safe, right? To be safe, we should rock masks,
yeah.
right? It's cool. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's unbelievable. But years ago, if you were a black Hispanic, if you rocked the mask, the stereotype is fear for everybody. If you walk by somebody with the mask on, they're holding their pockets.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're saving lives.
Even still, like, when we go back to things being normal, you know, people will see, if you see someone with a mask, you're going to be like, WTF.
Exactly. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. All right, man. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, man. It was an excellent show. I'm glad to have my man Will T. Hopefully, we'll have Ray Jeezy back next week. But I'm about to end this show like this, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey,
you dig?
Deuce.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.